anybody need an agenda or calendar?
Well, I'd like to call the meeting to order and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
So moved.
I would like to propose an adjustment to that.
Okay.
To the agenda. I see we have record report and commission's report and staff comments after the executive session. If there's no reason to insert the executive session in the middle, it might be more, to our public's liking to hold the executive session till after that so that they don't have to come back for the rest of the meeting.
Good observation. Well, I appreciate your observation.
So I'm open to whether you guys think that's appropriate or not.
The only concern I would have is whether or not if we came out of executive session and there was an action, then there might be public comment on the action.
Can you tell us if that's
there's no proposed action.
Okay, so then let us make that change.
Then I move that we adjust the agenda so that the executive session would drop down to after the staff comments, so it would replace number 15, and everything else between 10 and 15 would bounce up.
Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. That was to make your lives easier, just we do notice. So the first item is public comment. There is more of people than we have seen in months upon months. Mike.
Now,
absolutely.
Okay. I apologize for being redundant. I think that we should go green. I mean, this is the Village Green. I think we can do that with the port also. I've got some nice photographs in here recently of shrubbery, grass, tree trimmings in the dumpster with garbage. I already offered for the port to take it out and dump it at my place out in West Kingston. I don't need it, but it can be dumped there rather than wasting the money filling up dumpsters with green matter. Another thing is scuba area. We have 4 vessels sunk. One of it's probably completely deteriorated. If you can't see. One of them is probably decomposed. That was a 26-foot Thunderbird filled up with 5-gallon containers of fire retardant, government-grade epoxy, and hardener. And that was years ago. I reported it. No one dove down to remove it. I'm getting sidetracked. We have an area out there where there are probably 3 vessels sunk. One of them is a aluminum bow picker, gill knitter. It's been down there for years. Just one of the sides of the vessel is up, and people's anchors hook up to it, and then they have to separate their anchor or get a diver to go down and get it. But that area would be great, wonderful to mark it off with buoys, saying it's a Kingston dive area like Edmonds has. And I'm just guessing, take a wildcat guess, it's the divers get hungry, they probably come into our community and eat meatball sandwiches up the street or ice cream or whatever, spend their money here. I think that's all I have. If I have something else to complain about, I'll write it down and bring it to the next meeting. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Nancy?
I signed up. I did it the right way.
added. Thank you. I just want to thank the commission for bringing Terry Aisla to us as the communications coordinator. I think he'll be a tremendous asset to the community, and it's kind of a missing piece. And as a member of the Kingston Chamber, the Kingston Events Committee, the stakeholders, Kingston Cove Opening Day, and the North Kitsap Tourism Coalition, I think we all really look forward to working with him. I've already met with him and had telephone conversations, so thank you very much.
Mike?
I have a question. Bear with me. I've got a TBI, and it makes it difficult for me to stay focused and to remember things I want to talk about. The bridge widening over the South Kingston Road, were we sponsoring that? I mean, isn't that the Port of Kingston, though, also? Who was sponsoring that?
Well, that's a county project.
County? Okay. Yes.
There was a mitigation plan for the U.S. Navy. So when the Navy built a new dock in Bangor, they needed a mitigation site. So they were paying the county to have that done.
Okay.
All county done.
And the new bridge on the West Kingston Road, that's also the same thing? Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Ron?
Well, I can't say what Nancy did better. I mean, I think we all like Terry. I don't know why he's not sitting up there. He's part of your staff. But what I would like to ask the commission is if they put another website page which shows what you guys are planning to do that impacts the aesthetics for the port, like if you're going to put gates up at the walkway for the boats, or you're going to do an expansion to an existing building or anything else, would you put up what your plans are so the public can see it to make public comments before you start the project? I'd appreciate that. I think others would too.
Thank you for that.
You can do that. It's in the plan.
For this year?
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
The soil that was filled in, those two tidal nurseries where the bridge was, the slough palms or whatever, that soil, most of it displaced into the marina near A, Alpha, and Bravo Pier, which caused us to have to dredge it. Did they help pay for any of that? If it came out of our coffers. And it's going to come out of our funds again when the mud and soil that's disturbed on West Kingston Road displaces with the fall rains into the marina again.
If I could, a little different this time, we anticipate some kind of a dredge issue. We have an agreement with the Navy and the county that we will monitor that, and we are monitoring that. We did a pre-dredge survey. We will monitor over the next 5 years, and if there is any infill, we can go back to them for compensation.
Wonderful. I can see better now, thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, then we'll move on to the agenda. The consent agenda. These are routine matters, and they'll be enacted with one motion of the commission, unless one of the commissioners wants to take an item out of the agenda and hold it for discussion. So is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as proposed?
So moved.
I second that.
Any discussion?
Not yet.
So all in favor?
Yeah.
Okay. Financial report.
Off the wall.
looked at it last night and didn't notice anything. I do have an issue that will come to when we are on the proposed budget for next year, but it's really more for future than past.
I sort of have one question, but it's a more technical question than it is. It's expensive, or revenue question.
Relevant to more to next year?
Yeah, more to next year is how we track something.
So is there a motion to approve the financial report prepared by Hearthstone CPA as presented?
I think we accept it.
Do we normally just accept it?
We accept it. I move that we accept the financial report.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. So, presentation, Sale Kingston Co.
I think it's on there for Rick Ellis, so I'm going to turn this over to Rick. No.
Actually, we did fix that.
I'm Jerry Kirshner, representing the Sale Kingston Co. board. Also, we have two other members here, Rick Ellis and Jack Lott. Rita Osborne, maybe may not be here, she got hung up in traffic. I did make notes on this so I don't leave out anything like I did a couple weeks ago. So first of all, I'd like to start off with the board. This year we added three new members to the board. All three of them are younger members. And those of us with gray hair recognize what younger means. So two of them actually are parents with kids in sailing programs. One is in his mid-30s, and he's on the board for Sailing Foundation out of Seattle and also the Olympic Sailing Foundation. And he actually learned how to sail right here in Kingston Cove, went on to sail for local high school, University of Washington, was a coach in University of Washington, and has been very active. So he's a great, all three of them are very great additions to our board. From a financial standpoint, this past year we got a grant from the Northwest Maritime Trade Association for $1,500. Last year we got one for $2,500. Their goal is to help new programs, so next year we anticipate we're probably not going to get a grant from them. We also got a grant this year from IOBG, which is the International Blue Gavel organization for past Commodores for all yacht clubs in the United States. They're centered out of San Diego. They gave us $600 for scholarships for students that can't afford the $200 tradition. From a recognition standpoint, the first thing I have to do is apologize to the port for not recognizing the port as one of our partners. 2 weeks ago, we had a recognition barbecue, and both Rita and I failed to recognize the port, so apologies for that. At that time, we tried to pull everyone together. We recognized students, their parents, instructors, donators, and we should have highlighted our partners, the Port and Kingston Cove Yacht Club. But at that time, we had almost 80 people at that barbecue, and it was very, very well received. One of the things that we did do as a board, behind Rick's back, we instituted a perpetual award. It's now called the Sail Kingston Cove Rita Osborne Special Recognition Award. And that will be awarded every year to a deserving individual. And first, obviously, was to Rita Osborne. So that's part of the recognition. From a program standpoint, this year we had 80 student sessions, whereas in the last 2 years we had 38 and 39. So it's been a tremendous increase. We've instituted a sail racing program in our opties for the 8 to 12 years old, 12-year-olds. Went over very well. 1 week of intensive training, but then available to race and practice every Tuesday and Thursday night throughout the whole summer. Some of our students went to various regattas, and in the Seattle Yacht Club Regatta, we had one student come in third, one 11th, and one 18th. So they've come up very well into on learning curve. At this point in time, from an equipment standpoint, we have eight opties. We plan on adding two more so we can have 10 students, one per boat. We want to add two additional FJs so we can have six FJs so that we can hold our own little regatta, which requires six equivalent boats. And we'd like to add two lasers to our flotilla, plus an additional chase boat. So that's kind of where we are and where we're going. Next year, we anticipate continuing to learn to sail program. In addition to that, expand the racing program. Might get into the FJs. There's been some discussion about partnering with parents for Kingston High School sailing program. So that's in the discussion phase. at this point, I understand that there's an opportunity for going after a grant for the float, for a new float. We'd be more than happy to partner and offer anything we can. Excuse me. So with that, I'm open to questions.
How many racers were in the program where we had 3rd, 11th, 18th?
We started the program with 8 racers the first week, and they kind of dwindled down. So by the end of the season, I think we had 4 left. But at first, the regatta where we had the 3, I think there were 6 of them that actually went over to that.
Okay, and how many were competing?
That I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
18?
On the grants, the Silverdale used an ALEA grant. It's Aquatic Lands Enhancement Program. And their float cost about $150,000. The grant was about a 50% match. But also there's a boating facilities grant, which you can use. And you can use grants to be part of the match. So you can actually apply for both of those grants. And I know the NMT has the Grow Boating Grant, which I think you're already tapping into. So I encourage you to look into them and maybe see Silverdale's application. We was told to us that at some workshop that having a partnership with a private group such as yours is a very strong card when you're applying for grants. So,
I'd be more happy to work with Jim as to how we can optimize that.
Yeah, I think, first off, I wanted to commend you on getting new, younger members on the board. That is so crucial to the longevity of the program to have somewhere the under 50 group, or at least under 70.
Some of them are even actually under 40.
But I'm really glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. And I'll just echo what Walt said about the from everything I've been able to hear about getting grants, having maybe even the Yacht Club participate with us would make it a stronger and stronger proposal for getting funding. I know a couple of years ago we looked into what it would cost for a float just the size of the one we have now, but under the current regulations it would have to be, I forget the exact percentage, 75, 90, some percentage light transparent. So we're talking grid rather than solid wood. And just that size was like $100,000. So obviously, with your plans, you're going to need more space. I don't know where that will come from. Jim will work that out with you. But it's going to cost a pretty penny. And the grant is that would be great. And whatever we can do, work with Jim.
Okay. And I think, first of all, I agree that the more we can get to Jim for the grant is good. But if you look at the community support for Sail Kingston Cove, it's been tremendous. The chamber, the stakeholders donated money, individuals. We can certainly build on that to add into whatever grant application there is.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Is there anything we can do to help your program in the upcoming year operationally, or are the arrangements working out?
The arrangements have been working out fantastic. Okay. There have been no hiccups whatsoever. And this past year of work, it ran extremely well. So I just have to say thank to Jim and his staff in terms of helping to make that a very, very smooth operation this year. And anytime there was a question of we needed this or that, we went to either Jim or to Ray, and if it was feasible, it happened. So just thank you.
Can I make one comment?
Yes.
As I recall, years ago, when Paulsville Recreation and Parks was here, That float was built with volunteers here in Kingston. So the grant's not the only option. I mean, this community really loves the salmon program. So if the grants fail or if the timing is limited, ask us.
Thank you.
New business, the 2018 budget schedule and presentation of the draft assumptions.
Every year about this time, we put together kind of a rough draft of what we think 2018 is shaping up like. We typically present this time of year, and then next month we actually consider approval of that. As you might be aware, Thanksgiving is our deadline. We have to have an approved budget sent to the county by Thanksgiving. So we're on a good schedule here. This is not meant to be a commissioners, here's your budget for 2018. This is to start the discussion from what staff's input is, to get your input, get the community's input, and then we'll go back and refine everything. I did put together a budget narrative. The numbers that staff has come up with basically are projecting a flat year, a flat budget. We're not looking for a lot of increase in income. We're not looking for a lot of increase in expenses. So what you see here is pretty much a status quo. We are expecting, if we follow the numbers the way we project them, a slight decrease in revenue next year. It's not actually going to be an actual decrease in revenue, but it's going to be a decrease from projection. We projected last year to make X. We didn't make that, so what we're showing is 18 is not going to make that. And two of the big reasons, as you're aware, we put out the Hill House for rental for $2,200 a month. We were not able to achieve that. It took us a few months to actually get a tenant in there. I'm looking at a decrease in that kind of income. And you can see our decrease is about $18,000 we're talking about. We also were bullish on our fuel projections of how much money we were going to make in fuel in 2017. We are not going to hit those numbers. We're probably going to hit closer to 106 instead of 111, which we projected. So when you take those two things into account, those are the reasons for the decrease in projected budgets. Expenses are going up very minimally. We've looked at some categories, and one of them obviously is legal fees. We had a small talk about legal fees, how we want to operate that. I think we can do better in not accruing as many legal charges in 2018. So that's one of the reasons for the small increase in expenses, because as you know, salaries are always our biggest expense. Salaries are going up by some $25,000. We have an additional employee. We've budgeted for a 3% increase. Whether that actually happens or not, we budgeted for it. And we also budgeted for our program where we can award bonuses, if you will, for employees that have reached their goals. So we put $10,000 in there for that type of thing. But that is the biggest expense that we have. So if you want to go through the actual spreadsheet that we put together, we are not proposing a mortgage increase at this time. We want to flat again. We're going to look at that after the first of the year. I'd like to do a lot more research on what that means and how we can go about a mortgage increase if we do it all. Transient mortgage, I think we're going to be fine in. The kayaks facility will be status quo. So when you look at the bottom line, we're looking at a small decrease in revenue, but certainly nothing big in 2018. Actually, from 883 to 888. So there'll be a small increase. Parking, again, will be flat, not knowing what the ramifications of the passenger ferry will be.
That will rely on, number one, demand. Number two, should the Port Commission talk about an increase in rates? We have very affordable parking rates right now at $5 for 12 hours when compared to the rest of the community, communities around us, I should say. So that will be up for discussion as soon as the passenger ferry starts, is do we want to look at an increase in fees, and what is the demand? Property rentals are pretty much locked in. We have long-term agreements with Aviator Coffee, the Yacht Club, the Farmers Market, Sail Kingston Cove. Those are all, Department of Transportation has a long-term contract. So we're not talking a lot of money there. Fuel sales, again, we're projecting, we budgeted 111 last year. I'm going to go down to 106. Those are net dollars. That's what fuel costs us versus what we sell. We try to achieve a 50-cent margin. So if it costs us X, we add 50 cents to that, and that's our margin for fuel sales, which should generate about $106,000. Retail, what that is our hats and sweatshirts that we sell, and ice. So that's being real on ice. So that's what that category is. So we're looking at an overall income of $1,484 from operations. And then, of course, we have non-operating income, which will be taxes. It'll be interest income and things like that, which is projected to be $236 for non-operating income. So that gives us the grand total of $1,700. And when you look at expenses, they're pretty much in line. You see that big jump in employee expenses from projected at 519. We actually didn't achieve 519. We are higher than that in 2017, but we're projecting to go to 555 for employee expenses. Good news is employee medical is actually looking to go down next year. So we're projecting, I don't know why that is, but we got a quote and we're looking at $10,000 less next year. The thing that we talked about last time is commissioner compensation, commissioner medical. As you can see, I put some numbers in here for you all to talk about. Traditionally, our medical for commissioners has been very low, so we put it up to reality what other ports normally pay for commissioner medical and compensation. The salary is pretty much set by the RCWs. You all just got a raise of $21 or something a month. So it went to how much is that going to be? $230 for commission?
$254.
So that's $254 a month set by the RCWs. However, compensation is the number of meetings you attend and what you charge the port for, $114 per meeting that you're allowed by the RCWs. So that's something we put in there, but certainly we can have a discussion as to do you want to keep it that way. Other than that, all of our expenses seem to be fairly flat, so I don't expect a lot of increase. We did decrease legal from $100,000 to $85,000, and I think we can live within those means next year. Any questions on income or expenses before we move on to capital?
I have a question on the property rentals on the Hill House. I see you've got $21,000 proposed for 2018. Are you anticipating rent for the full year of that? So if we end up doing something with that property that ends that sooner than that, that will be lower. That's what, $2,000 a month, $1,800?
We net out about $1,800 a month.
Okay. My second question is really a request. Next year, we'll start having to repay the loan for the covered mortgage. I think it would be really helpful because that will show up, I'm assuming, as a line item in our finances. To, under the permanent mortgage income section, to break that out into the two components, the basic and then the delta for the covered mortgage. And if that's not a particularly big problem, that would give us a clear picture that anyone can see, yes, the covered mortgage is being paid for by the people using it because that's the dollars that match.
So you should have a debt service line item somewhere. I mean, balance the books.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But being able to look at the income side and see we got, $10,000 for base and $2,000 for covered mortgage delta, and then it's clear to everyone how that's being supported.
Yeah, I had a question on that with our financial statements. It's kind of hard to see because we show this amount, $700,000, as a liability, but we don't show the income from a loan, which in the first year they balance out. So you've got to do the mental addition and subtract your head and say, oh, well, we got the loan and we're spending the money out. So it makes the financial reports look a little weird. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is we've got the loan and then we take the money out, but we only report the money we take out and not the loan, the revenue coming in. Yeah, so that does make our reports a little bit confusing when you look at,
you know, account for capital in the operating budget. That's where we're having the issues. We're spending as capital, but to post it on the operating account, it's going to look like we're losing a lot more than we are. Yeah. But we're a cash accounting, so we can do that. Yeah, breaking out the covered mortgage is a great idea because that's what we sold the bond on, that that delta would cover whatever our debt service was.
I would like to make a request that we publish, include the fee schedule as part of the budget. That's what we've done ever since I've been a commissioner. And I think the public expects to see the fee schedule. If you want to make changes to it, fine. I think we should apply a 3% wherever that's appropriate. Obviously, you can't 3% for a $3 parking fee. It doesn't make any sense. But we are raising salaries by the CPW, which is 3%. So I think as a simple-minded approach that we should have, you know, for those type of fees, the baseline ought to start with a 3% increase to match the expected increase in costs, and that's sort of a neutral. And then later in the year, you can adjust it. But technically, on our website, is it on our website? Anyway, our fee schedule expires at the end of this year. It's because it's approved for a year, so we really need to have one that says 2018. And you guys, but I think that's referring to the budget. It was so the public can comment on things like that. You have talked about that.
I apologize. Sam wanted to do that, and I said, no, not for this meeting. So she was right. I was right.
There was another thing to resolve was whether we were going to do a commercial lot, a commercial transfer fee on lots. Businesses transfer
The Goyed Duck Buyers, Butcher.
The fish transfer.
Fish buyers.
We had talked about that as a new fee, and are you planning on
it? It is going to be a new fee.
Are we going to talk about that in this cycle? Okay. Yeah. So that's a place to talk about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we should probably look at that whole fee schedule, and then like very, very good point that one expires, and technically do we have authority to go beyond that, or what do we do with it if anybody wants to get really technical. But knowing what the assumptions would be, even if we didn't enact any of those immediately, that would give us a good budget picture to say, well, if we did 3%, it would be this, and if we did enact a fee for the commercial transactions, we're anticipating X amount, and that would generate something. So it gives us a little more data to work from. Mm-hmm.
Great. We'll get that done. Get it to you.
Thank you.
So the capital budget, we'll talk a little bit about passenger ferry terminal upgrades in a bit as another agenda item. We have $800,000 in that. We've kept gates and locks on the entrances, we're just carrying it over from this year. Washington Boulevard Park, we're keeping the $425,000 in there because we are going to develop it this year. And then the laundry room and restroom refresh, which will be new partitions and sinks. And we have $75,000 into doing that. I'm also talking to staff, and I don't have a number yet on something we can do for the middle restrooms that are in pretty bad shape, even if it's just kind of paint and fixture upgrades, to see if we can just refresh that. We would like to go in for an RCO grant to redo those, but their cycle doesn't start until April next year. So we won't have the money next year to get that done, but we can certainly do some cleanup in those middle restrooms. Now, keep in mind that the passenger ferry terminal upgrades and Washington Boulevard Park are being compensated from other government entities. So the only thing we're really proposing is about $150,000 in capital expenditures next year with port dollars, unless the commission would like me to consider other upgrades that need to happen.
So these capital expenses, except for the gates, which are failing, are kind of new projects, but no maintenance-related capital expenditures that you see, systems that need to be replaced like we did on the launch ramp stuff. And
Juanita and I went through with the staff and said, okay, what do you see out there? And I always worry the gators are going to die, but Steve said he can keep those gators going for the rest of his life.
I think the forklift predates some people that are in here.
How about the tent? Is that going to need any refurbishment this year?
We're looking at there's one bad panel, and we're actually trying to see it's a back panel. If we can just buy that panel, it might be a different color, but it's in the back of the tent. They're taking it down next week. Actually, Sunday, I think they're taking it down. And we'll get a better idea of any other rips and tears that need to be. But it's going to be maintenance in our maintenance budget.
Okay.
You know, $1,000 here, $1,000 there, but it's not going to be major. I don't know that I could, good faith, recommend another $15,000 for a tent when we don't know what that property is going to do in the future.
But would you figure with maybe just regular maintenance that will survive another year?
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, don't think so. Just a question: are we going to have a budget workshop? So the next thing will not necessarily be a regular meeting; it will be a workshop to go.
We'll announce it so
the public
knows.
Can, and then hearing after that.
With your permission, I'd like to post this on the website just so we can start the dialogue. Does that work?
Yeah.
So we'll have this up tomorrow for the public to look at, make any comments.
Mm-hmm. Will you be putting the fee piece as well?
It may take me a couple days to get that up.
Okay.
We will. As soon as it's up, we'll get it to you all first, maybe in our workshop next Tuesday, let you look at it, and then we'll post it after that.
So will you put a note that says that it's coming so that people who...
Sure. Yeah.
Anything else?
Okay.
And what's your sense of when the budget workshop would be, time-wise, approximately?
It'll probably be not this Tuesday, the coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday.
Do we have the assessor's estimate now?
Okay. That's in that 236.
Okay.
It's
that's the current.
That's their rough estimate.
What's that? Okay.
So like October 10.
October 10th. Okay. We'll publicize that.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt your question.
Okay.
His answer to your question.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
Were you finished with what you were saying? But okay, great. Okay, so let's talk about the curb feasibility study funded by a curb grant. We worked on a supplement to the report from Heartland because we thought there were some things that needed to be mentioned or were missing, and so we've evolved that over several weeks now.
So Commissioner Elliott redid some of the numbers on DryStack, and we didn't get it in your packet, but this is a revised spreadsheet.
I can explain what I did. I wanted to make it more conservative. So I took the ramp up of occupancy from starting at 70% to starting at 30%, and then ramped that up over 4 years. Now, if this also accompanies a reconfiguration of ADOC for bigger boats, you could probably start very high. So there was a slower ramp up of occupancy. And then what I had done was assumed a $300,000 upgrade at midlife, 30 years. But I hadn't corrected that for inflation. So that became $450,000 at midlife instead of $300,000. So it was just to try to be more conservative in the estimate. Otherwise, everything else is the same. And you'll see that the columns have been hidden in this to get it on one page. So it just has relevant columns. So it's basically what you saw before.
So the background for the public, we hired Heartland to come in and do a feasibility study funded by CURB to give us what we could do with these two lots, the Hill House property, the top property, and possibly the upper lot, parking lot. They did a good job. They came back with some ideas. They listened to the community. But when we looked at their options, two things were missing. One is a residential component that they didn't look at. And we think that before we actually send this report to CURB for funding, we need to let CURB know that this is what Heartland said, but this is what we'd like to look at additionally on those properties. So one was a residential component, and one was they actually looked at dry stack storage, but they looked at it from a way that we would develop it and we would lease it to somebody to operate. And they didn't take into account what it would cost if the port operated it, just like we would operate a marina. So Commissioner Elliott was kind of put these numbers together. What would happen if the port operated a dry stack storage? And we want to submit that to CURB so they know that we looked at all the feasibility, not just what the consultants told us to do. So the process would be for the commissioners to endorse this final report supplement, and then we would send that out to Community Economic Revitalization Board for funding.
For reimbursement, essentially. Mm-hmm.
I have a question, Walt, on the on your spreadsheet.
Yes.
Way down at the bottom where you talk about under the 30-year restaurant hotel annual ROI, is there a decimal point missing there, or is it really that high?
Oh, there.
And similarly, under the cottage.
Yeah, I will provide a corrected spreadsheet. Figures out where that is. I'm afraid to answer it now.
Yeah.
I think you'll probably find that yes, the decimal point is missing.
Okay. Okay. I figured that had to be.
I apologize for
I'd
that.
I'd like to invest.
Okay.
We'll sell you the project.
So, it's Sam, I'll send you, and you can send it out to the commissioners with the corrected back. Thank you for pointing out that. That's why I'm not an accountant. Thank you, Bruce.
I like the return, but.
So, are all of these numbers have comparable numbers above?
They are much simpler because it was simply a lease. So,
right.
It's a lot less line items. So, this is larger because there's a lot more factors. There, you just prepare the property for a lease.
Right. But there's no average annual ROI for these two.
That would be in there.
Okay, it's in there.
I'll clean
that up. Would you
break
that out?
Yes.
That would be really good.
Yes, I will. That would be the annual average, because what they basically do is they take one rate and they just inflate it. So it's the same relative number every year.
Yeah, but if we're going to be trying to do any kind of comparison, I think having it broken out would be helpful.
Thank you for being observant. Yeah. Okay.
I think the revised supplement does a good job of expressing the consent of the consensus of the commission as we've discussed this. So, I don't feel that it needs additional changes.
Walt, do you have any other?
I have no other comments.
Yeah. And neither do I like what you've done here.
Okay. So. We don't need a vote on that. I'll just send it on. Make sure you have a chance to review.
Okay. Off it goes. Okay, so the next important topic is the facility upgrades for the Fast Ferry.
So this is what keeps me up at night. We always worry about that. This is the 300-pound gorilla in the kitchen. We are starting ferry service in a little less than 8 months, and our facility, in my opinion, in the opinion of a lot, is fairly inadequate for what we're trying to accomplish. So, and I'd like to, on Tuesday, if you are up for it, take you on a tour of the facility and see it through my eyes, if you go out on the barge and see where we're at. I've met with several contractors to figure out how do we propose and how do we pay for a facility that will allow us a couple things to be functional for the next decade. Be a real welcome to Kingston, because I think that they're going to want to not only cater to commuters, but also tourists that want to come to Kingston, so make that an inviting space. And do that where the port's not going to be on the hook and liable for everything. So as the quotes kept coming in, the numbers kept growing. I thought we were starting at $500,000, and then the next day another $100,000 would come in, and the next day another $100,000, and we are up close to $800,000 now in things that need to be done to the dock. I met with Casey Harrington 2 weeks ago on the dock, and Casey Harrington is the marine manager for Kitsap Transit, and asked the question, what do you want? That's always a bad question to ask. But the list wasn't that long. He wants to be able to fuel his boat on our float. He wants to be able to pump sewage and waste off of our dock for the boat. He wants some kind of a habitable space that people can actually wade in if it's pouring rain and 30 degrees. And he wants some kind of a place where his staff can sit between boats, a little office space, if you will. So the first one was fuel. The fuel quote came in at $168,000 to run fuel out there. That would be that would enable them to pump 75 gallons a minute, which is a high-speed pump, higher speed than the one we have. They have a lot of safeguards. It's cam lock, so you don't stick a nozzle in the boat. It's actually locked into the boat. All triple wall pipe, so it could be all environmentally safe triple wall pipe. So if there is a leak, it can't go out into the water. So that's why it's $170,000 to do that. The second is waste. The waste needs to be a special HDPE pipe, which is a hard rubber pipe. It needs to be fused and welded instead of glued together. So that's $125,000 for waste. The office space was fairly easy in that we have a small kiosk at the head of the ferry dock right now. And although it's 6 by 8, it's a pretty small room. Casey thought that was fine for his employee to go in and check emails and do computer work if he needed to. There's Wi-Fi there. So really, we just need a little cleanup paint.
Does that have power?
It does. It has power, Wi-Fi. It's actually not bad. It's just really small.
Now, you said, how many employees do they figure that they'll be having?
Only one that's going to be stationed here, not on the boat.
Oh, okay.
That's just for one person.
So that's just the sort of like the station master kind of space. Okay.
They're looking at using the Orca Pass exclusively, and if there needs to be a purchase, it will be purchased on the boat. So they're not looking for a ticket booth on shore. You go on the boat, you buy a ticket. The third thing is what we affectionately call a gerbil tube, and I know staff affectionately calls it the gerbil tube, which is three containers that are welded together sitting on pilings. We went back and forth on should we just get rid of them or should we try to make them habitable. There's a lot of problems with getting rid of them because you need a foundation deck that's not there. If you remove the containers, all it is two I-beams going 130 feet. So that's expensive to deck it and build a foundation. I have talked to the contractor that's building our office building just for ideas, because obviously that will have to go out to bid. And he had some good ideas about how you could make that habitable with furring strips, spray insulation, new windows, an actual truss roof so that water doesn't come in the windows, it actually goes off. Mm-hmm. Really industrial grade carpet, with carpet growing up the sides of the walls 3 feet so that people, when they put their feet on it, but make it very cleanable, very easy. He would recommend putting a mini heat pump system in there so you would have air conditioning and heat so that when it's really hot, it's not sweltering in there. But yeah, we can heat the space. And he thought it would be about $220,000 to do that. So it's a big project. It's 10 feet wide by 120 feet long. But there's a lot of prep work. The spray insulation alone is quite a bit of money. Obviously, that would have to go out to bid, and we could see. I'm considering hiring an architect, which would be within my signature authority, to come up with some ideas and plans so we could actually submit that to go out to bid, should we want to. The big unknown is the barge. The barge was built in 1989. It was sold to, what was the company before the port?
Aqua Express was the first one.
It hasn't been out of the water in 10 years. We did dive it, looked at the zincs. We replaced the zincs last year. There is a question on structurally, how is that dock? Is it in good shape? I have a gentleman tomorrow at 10 o'clock coming from Foss Maritime that will look at the dock and see where we are.
So will he be able to go inside?
He's not going to go inside tomorrow. He's going to do an overall look at it. But interestingly, what Casey said to me the other day, when we actually toured the facility, and Casey's got a lot of experience with oil companies doing rigs and platforms. My initial quote from Foss Maritime, if we need to pull it, take it to Seattle, sandblast it, and paint it, is about $225,000. Casey thinks that you could build a new, brand new, purpose-built float for under $200,000. So I'm just going to ask Foss Maritime tomorrow, point blank, what would it cost to build a new 40 by 90 barge that would interface with the boat they're bringing? Because right now, anything we do, it's not necessarily going to interface. There's going to be need to be some kind of a transfer. So I think we should start the discussion anyway, and if we decide that we need to sell the Verlaine, we could probably sell it and make enough money to... We have $35,000 we owe, and I...
But still being used for transit.
Yeah. So... But if we paid the $35,000, we're free and clear to do anything we want with it. So if we could get $35,000 to scrap for it, or $50,000, we could pay off the...
I was thinking that if it's used for transit, it's the original purpose.
Yeah.
So you're just really just changing things out, so... That would meet the intent of the FTA.
So anyway, there's a lot of questions out there, but I think the only thing that I'm pretty locked in at is going to be at least $800,000 to make the dock for the next decade service the community of Kingston. So with that, I gave Kitsap Transit options. I said, we can charge you $7,000 a month rent. We can charge you a 60-cent per gallon fuel surcharge. How would you like to deal with this? And they said that, and this is only Casey speaking, this isn't the board or transit board, his intent is to capitalize everything. So in that, he would rather write the Port of Kingston a check for $800,000 and say, make this happen, do it, and they would capitalize that expense. What they don't want is $7,000 a month payments. They want operations to be self-sustaining, and they would rather upfront capital. So, in some regards, that's a win. Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't preclude an operational fee.
No, and then we could go to what you proposed, Mr. Elliott, last time. It was what I told you it would work, but you proposed just charging our normal mortgage rates. So if that's $5.67 a foot, they would pay $600 a month. And that would fit more in line with, they would pay mortgage rates, so we have an established fee, and they would also pay for all the capital.
Now, one reason I mentioned it that way is that we treat them as a tenant. Then we could say the other side of the dock, we could rent out to other tenants if we needed to, so we consider, so that way we maintain its approach, otherwise we think it's a different. But that's it.
So we don't know what we don't know yet. I'm going to continue. Hopefully this gentleman from Foss Maritime tomorrow is going to help us. They were the ones that helped the Port of Paulsville. Port of Paulsville had a real problem with their fuel barge, and they came in and really rehabilitated that for the Port of Paulsville. They're probably the experts in the greater Seattle area getting this done.
I think my concern, go ahead. My concern with the barge is as much the internal structure, whether it's been compromised to rust like the old ferries, and the hull plating, whether it's going to be you're going to need to replate the hull because they've been pitted or degraded degraded. So I was kind of thinking more of a structural concern. That
I have a question on the fuel piece. What is our estimated revenue from sale of fuels? Because that's not included in these.
So that would be, because they're putting in all the infrastructure, it would be the commission's decision on how much of a surcharge to charge per gallon. They're anticipating the boat they've purchased is going to go through 2,000 gallons a day. So we have an 11,000-gallon tank, so we will have a tanker truck in the parking lot every 2 days or every 3 days, because we have to draw off that too for our supply. So one of the things Casey would like to explore, and I'm happy to explore for them, is buying on the state contract. With that kind of volume, we could actually go and tell the supplier that we want the state's price, and of course they buy hundreds of thousands of gallons of fuel throughout the state. So we may be able to get that down, which would be a benefit to us and our tenants also. But I don't know yet. And what I'll do is I'll come back to you with a proposal on what. We can't, obviously they're not going to pay 50 cents a gallon. That's going to be pretty onerous for them to pay $1,000 a day in fuel service charge.
But that, as we think about the outlay and the revenue stream, I think we need to hold that in our thinking as well. Mm-hmm. Bruce, did you have other questions or
just
comments?
A couple of thoughts I'm rolling around. If I understand what you and Casey were kicking around, would be that they'd write a check for it, let's say like the gerbil tube or the refurbishing the barge. The work would be done, but the resulting asset would be then still owned by the port.
And he knows that. But that's we're not giving them any assets. It would be owned by the port.
Okay.
Now in an exchange we would have to figure out, because I would be doing all of the bidding and the contract work, what fee the port would charge appropriate to that. They just don't have the manpower to do that.
And even we might have to bring in some help for that, because that could be, given the length of time that all this is going to have to happen within, that unless you're planning on moving into the office, it's going to be a nice new office.
You know, it's not going to be that many contracts, I don't think. The good thing is there's going to be very little permitting. The roof on the gerbil tube is the only permitting we're going to have to do. Everything else is not structural. So fuel lines are just an extension of our system, so there's no permitting there. Same with waste. We already have potable water there. We have plenty of electricity. The barge, we're not going to increase the physical size. Even if we get a new barge, it'll be 40 by 90, exact same footprint, so we're not covering any more eelgrass or anything else. So I don't think it'll be that much work. And I have Terry now.
Another question, you mentioned the black water. That's something I assume we would also build into their. Have they talked about how much black water they would plan to or anticipate pumping? Because that goes into our sewer and we pay by the gallon.
Yep. So all I know is they wanted a 55 gallon per minute pump, but I don't know what the capacity is, so that's something we're going to have to. I asked him to send me specs on the new boat. And hopefully we can figure out what the capacity is so we'll know what it is. Mm-hmm. But you're right, we pay for it by the gallon, so.
So that's baked into whatever they're paying us.
Is this something that you anticipate would happen, the refueling and pumping, every morning at some very early hour?
Yes.
How loud is it?
Not.
Okay.
It's basically just regular fuel pump.
Two things. There are pump-out grants, but that would be retroactive, and you might look into whether that could be a source for the black water or NOAA approach by that. The other thing is, I think we need a competent authority to attest to the safety of the gerbil tube. Does it need a sprinkler system? Mm-hmm. And you get a couple hundred people in there, and I can think of some scenarios that we. I don't want to make it too hard, but I think we need someone to evaluate, because I don't think that has been done. And I know Bainbridge has, that's what they said, they do okay, but I would just be a little concerned. It's a confined space, a lot of people. We probably need to get some extra, maybe it has an occupancy limit, I don't know.
On that same topic of the gerbil tube, those things are great mold incubators. I'm not sure we can cure that. And maybe when you're talking with an architect about there, it seems to me one option might be, instead of pulling the thing off, pulling the whole container off, cut it off, lift the top off, keep the plate, the base there, and then you don't have to rebuild the dock. But that might then give you a platform on which you could build something that would be nicer and not have the history of mold and moisture that we've had. A thought.
And will this be set up on the website so that anyone else who has thoughts or ideas about this will be able to communicate?
So I'm understanding that there's no upland changes that need to be done for the ferry service.
Okay. It's Kitsap Transit, and then maybe I missed this in the last few minutes, or in the first few minutes of the meeting that John Rose had last week. Are they planning any changes in the bus service to, in terms of drop-off and pick-up? I know they're going to be rerouting things, but in terms of where they drop and pick-up, are they planning any changes there that we'd have to worry about or could take into consideration?
Not that I know of yet, but that's a good discussion to have.
They did talk about entering the ferry parking lot, and that they would go down Washington Avenue over to and go in the employees' entrance so the buses could make the turn. So they wanted to drop off by the terminal. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, they were just speculating. But if they could, they would like to be able to bring their buses down, but that's on the ferry, a holding lot, not on our property.
Yeah, and as long as it doesn't require us to do anything different, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it. But if they're contemplating that, we should get it, be involved.
Okay. So, Bruce, were you suggesting that the public comment would drop down as well or not?
No, just the executive
okay.
session would drop
okay.
down.
Okay, great. So, this is an opportunity for additional public comment. We've talked about a lot of pretty intense topics today. Ron.
I have three things I'd like to comment on. One, on the barge. Back on your 2012 master plan, we talked a lot about a seaplane coming into that float. Hasn't happened yet. I can't bring a seaplane in there. If you're going to redo it, could you accommodate a seaplane coming in there? Because we could get a lot of those coming in, I think. And I'll bring one in too. That's number one. Number two is, when you talk about the budget, is that in any way related to an update of the master plan, which is now 5 years old? I'd like to see those things updated, and maybe I haven't come to enough meetings to understand that. Number three, if you don't mind, I'm still under 3 minutes. If you're gonna redo the gates for the covered mortgage or AMB, I'd like to see a plan for that, and I really don't understand the problem that you're trying to solve. I don't want it to look like a prison, and I'd love to see a drawing of what you intend to do and what problem you're trying to solve before you start going out for bids. Last one, number four. When you talk about the economic and the financial aspects of what you're going to do with Kitsap Transit on that, I'd love to see a better financial analysis of the options that you have, whether you charge Kitsap Transit a fee or whatever you do. Well, you on your Excel, you have a function called an IRR, internal rate of return. Those kinds of things I'd like to see before you guys make a decision of how you want to go. And this important for the long term. And I'll help you do that if you want, but I don't feel qualified. There's a lot of financial. Juanita and all you guys can do that, but it's an important thing for the kids.
So were those statements or questions?
Topics.
It's something, well, it was half and a half.
Okay.
Could you say this full name? For the record.
Jerry, what was it?
That was Ron Karsmar, in case anyone of you are not familiar with him.
I can answer a few of them. One, you can't put a float plane on there because there are piles up, so you never get the wings in. You have to go outboard enough to get wing clearance.
I know that, but when we talked about this before you came, we were talking about putting a float out there, like, I don't know, whether you bring seaplanes into Port Thompson or not, they do it at Port Leno. If you're going to redo the barge, which we were talking about, then if you don't need any more permits, then maybe that's one issue. But it's easy enough to put the wings on those beavers are like, I think, 22 feet, I don't know. So you'd have to put that out. So if you're going to redo it, I'd ask you to consider that. Somehow it got into the 2012 master plan. Take a look at that.
Master plan we're working on. Sam has been going through it chapter by chapter and having the commissioners review. We're hoping to have that done by the end of the year for draft form for the commissioners to an update of the master plan. Gates, absolutely, before we do anything, we can get that on the website and we can explain why we're doing it and show you.
Okay, but you know now why you're doing it, so I'd love to know what the problem is you're trying to solve. It's easy enough. I see swimmers go by there.
Yeah.
I see paddle boats. You don't have gates around those. I'd like to know what the problem is. And you have a lot of people that have boats down there. I haven't seen a lot of people complaining about theft or anything for the last 3 years. I'd like to know what the problem is that you're trying to solve.
Sure.
You know, to me, you got to have a problem before you solve it. If you don't have a problem and solve it, then you end up with something else.
Sure.
Just for example, we did have a Kenmore airplane come in to our port, and I think they used the floats for a dock or the launch ramp floats.
Yeah.
But they were able to bring their plane in there.
Well,
there was enough space between the poles that they could maneuver the plane.
Well, I had them come in on my beach years ago, but that you have to have a high tide to do that, and that's not for commercial use. Then Thompson used to fly his little cup in here all the time and go get it fueled up at your fuel dock. So I just think it would be not. I'd love to be able to have a float plane come in and take me up to San Juan and all that. And if we're going to get a lot of those poor people moving over here from Seattle that make $150,000 a year, they're probably going to use it too.
Thank you.
More to follow in response to those things. Anybody else? Mike?
Southern exposure, I keep bringing that up. The float out there, if we get into the business of transporting personnel to and from Maine to Seattle and back, how are they going to be able to dock that thing in the southern exposure? Have you guys ever actually seen the southern exposures? I'm sure you have. You live here. It'd be interesting to see how they dock that thing with something snorting out of the south like it does. Has there been any discussion to put up a break wall or I don't know, something to diffuse the waves that come in?
There hasn't yet.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's even taken this boat that they just purchased out. So it's coming from New York. So I don't think they know how it responds.
Okay.
Executive Director report?
Don't have a lot except I want to jump on the bandwagon of Nancy and Ron and congratulate Terry. He's only been here 4 days and he's already put out the first newsletter. So this is something that's going to be, this is the reason we need communication people. So it's in draft form. I wanted the commission to look at it before we actually distributed it. We would like to be able to put this in billings, you know, along with bills, put it on the website, and possibly email people. We're talking about some kind of an email system that would be an opt-in, opt-out. I don't want to spam people, but there are people that would like to hear more about what support's doing. So they could opt in to receive this. So again, it's just a draft, but I think he's done an excellent job of kind of communicating what the court's doing right now.
So can we get comments to you, not in the next 5 minutes, but read it and then talk to you later?
You mean, do you have questions, or do you want me to say something about?
No, if I have comments, can I tell you not sit here and try to do that thinking now?
Oh, please. In fact, if you've got some extra copies, it would be great if you could share them here with you, too, if you all understand that the word is draft. I'm very comfortable with that.
Okay, thank you. Other extra copies?
I think it's great to have something out this quickly and this high quality.
I would like, if you don't mind, I'd like to say a few words about it. Philosophically, these come from Jim. One of the things we're striving to do with this, I mean, the format may change, but the idea is to provide our publics with transparent and objective information. This is not a pub piece for the court, but to try to make sure the constituents, all of our different publics, understand as much as we can what is going on. Another thing is it's not always going to be print. As Jim pointed out, I mean, we're looking at a variety of different ways to try to integrate that. And we do want to integrate. The choice of the font, for example, is the font that they used for the new Welcome to Kingston sign. It's Garamond. So one of the first things that we need to do is to begin to develop a style book so that when people see Kingston, you know, it's not always in 10 or 12 different styles, but it's consistent. And along with that, too, are events that we can help publicize or, you know, create or be involved with. Certainly the new reader sign. It's going to be a way to help communicate, and that's something that you folks here have been working on for 10 years, so it's come to pass. Anyway, those are just some of the key philosophical thoughts behind it.
I got to make one comment. I mean, I love this. Years ago, Pete used to write an article in the community news that was what's happening at the court. I've missed that. This is a beautiful opportunity to fill in for that if we can get it into the, I'm sorry, you don't work there anymore, maybe I can do a job. It would be great because not many people go onto the website, but a lot of people read the community news. So just as a hope that maybe it gets put in as a page or a part for what's happening at the court.
I might touch on that. Thank you, I forgot that. These are actually originally written as press releases. So these are going both to my old boss, you know, Sound Publishing, and also to the competition with the Sun. So we are working on that. We've got another story working on that. I think Como News might be interested. It's a good, you know, visual story. So we're trying to get as much mileage out of every one of these releases, if you will, or stories, as we possibly can. But our first goal, first and foremost, is to address this issue of public knowledge, private ignorance, to make sure that the different publics that the court serves are as well informed as we can possibly make them, and to do it in as objective and, you know, transparent approach as we possibly can. So thank you for reminding me.
Also on our agenda is looking to do this at least quarterly, and then we're looking at doing one annual report that will come out in January, and that we do want to insert in the newspaper. And that's not going to be necessarily about what's happening at the port. That's going to be your port and how it operates in the community wealth that we bring, the recreational opportunities we bring, how much what your tax money goes for, and really explain to the general public who don't have a boat and don't come to Mike Ball's Park what the port's about. So that we'll have a broader distribution of that.
One observation on this, I don't want to jump into it. We are supposed to announce a public hearing on our budget. If we could pick that date, and that might accompany this article. By law, we have to have a hearing, not like there's a stenographer there, but we do have to have a date. If we could set that date, then maybe that could be part of this article. I know you've got the comment period, but there is a hearing as well.
It was part of the media release that went out. I edited it a bit for space in this one, but I can put it back.
But we still formally have to, 2 weeks before the public hearing, need to advertise in the newspaper.
We need to print it.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Yeah, I would like to say one more thing. On my bucket list of things I wanted to do, I wanted to work in a community that was run by dedicated residents as opposed to politicians. And I'm very grateful for this opportunity. This is a great community. And I think you're doing great things. So I'm very pleased to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
See, the trumpets are already celebrating in their minds.
Let's hope a year from now. The feeling persists.
So is that all you have for the second, and are there commission reports?
The only thing I would mention is at the chamber board meeting this morning, and Nancy would be far more informative than I am about it, but the LTAC grants, although not yet official, the chamber is receiving substantially greater funding from that source than ever before, and as you well know, that's critical and a very important part of their budget, so well done to all who were involved in that.
It was pretty fun, actually, to
give away money?
No, actually, to keep saying Kingston, 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 which was pretty much the way that worked. And Nancy sat through the entire process, which was 2 full days. Plus the ahead of time briefing, and I appreciated that. I think it was really good for everybody on the panel to see you in the corner.
Yeah. It wasn't my opening. I hope I resolved one more letter.
Walt, did you have anything
Let's
you wanted
see,
to?
As Jim said, the tent takedown Sunday at 10. Just so you know.
You realize
is that
it's projected
be
to be.
Well, we've asked them to do it, but. Or I've asked them to do it. If the kids may have something better to do that day, we'll see. As if you read Terry's article, the permit was issued for the sign. So they announced that at Rotary today. So the other thing, I'm involved in the ferry's long range planning stuff. And if you read my article in this community news, you know what the working group is got targeted for the near term, and I can go over that with you if you want. It's not port, none of that is really port related. The one interesting thing was when we were going over data, the earthquake analysis of the terminals shows that the Kingston Edmonds route would probably be down in most scenarios, which is kind of strange because it's a new dock, but the Kingston dock would be down. So that San Francisco Bay. The Golden Gate Authority used that as a means to get funding for their passenger ferry system disaster preparedness. So that when they were talking about bridges being down, but if the ferry terminals are down, well then the passenger ferry. So they're
I mentioned to John Clausen when he did his brief, and that could be a thing. John had a good brief for people who went to it, and Bruce, you were there, so it was pretty informative.
Yeah, well worth going to.
That's all I have.
Staff comments?
So I made a little sheet for the gallons comparison from last year to this year. And those are just the summer months, June, July, and August. There isn't that much of a difference. Maybe in fuel or diesel from last year to this year. And then, of course, the regular little report that I have, the profit and loss budget compared to actuals. So for income, it's anything greater than 66.67%. And then for expenses, anything less than.
How do we track the new building construction, the building modifications?
How do we?
Yes. How do we? I mean, is there a line out of here?
Not on here, no. That's it's an asset. I put everything for the building, the office building, in a separate item, which isn't included in the profit and loss.
I'm just wondering where we track the construction costs for the building modification.
It's in capital.
It's
so
in capital.
We can get you a capital report.
I can go find it.
No, I mean, we should provide you with every major capital project a report of what it costs. This is the budget. This is what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
We're tracking perfectly. You see when you sign checks, there's a $70,000 check, which is basically half of Homeland's bill. So he's about 50. He was about 50% complete at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a $2,000 change order that I approved. That was to remove the old siding. Our staff just got so busy with fuel and everything, we couldn't get it done in time. So he just had his crew remove the old siding. That was a $2,000 change order.
I have a question about the fuel comparison. Do you know why diesel is up during August where unleaded is down during August? I see that as in both years.
I'm just assuming the type of boat that they're out there uses diesel more than unleaded.
The big boats wait till August, is that it?
We get a lot of commercial activity in August. And they'll come in and take 1,000 gallons at a time. Gasoline's still in smaller recreational boats, so they tend not to buy that much.
This brings a question. Do we plan on separately metering the potable water out to the barge? So, because the sewer comes off of that as well.
I think we need to.
Yeah, that might be something. So we can get back to you on this.
Yeah.
I don't want to delay them.
Oh, I just had one thing to add. We are doing three in the paper. We're auctioning off a boat on October 10th. A 24-foot sailboat that's been sitting on the inside between the breakwater and the guest dock right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. October 10th.
The gentleman who owned it passed away, and his family has no use for it, so they just abandoned it.
27-foot sailboat?
24. It's owed in the port about 1,100. It's not very much.
Okay. Sam?
All right. So, here is the See, and I've also, prior to the meeting, distributed at your seats your itineraries for your WPPA travel for the month of October. Other than that, it's been kind of an easy month. I public records update at this time. I received one request at the end of last week. It's currently the only open request, and I anticipate closing that on Friday as scheduled. So by the end of the week, we will be back to zero open public records requests. So also the October regular meeting with the WPPA Small Port Seminar, everyone would be departing that day, and it's going to be kind of a long drive out to Leavenworth. It had been mentioned in a previous meeting that we might want to reschedule that regular meeting for the month of October, in which case we would need a motion by the board.
And when would you propose rescheduling it to?
Jim, would there be a proposition of rescheduling for?
I think Tuesday.
Tuesday the 24th.
The 24th would probably be the easiest.
Does that work for your calendar, Walt and Bruce?
And so far as I know,
yeah, that works for mine.
Also, 1 o'clock. So is there a motion to make that change, to change the date from the regular meeting from October 25th to October 24th in order to accommodate travel to Leavenworth for the WPPA meeting?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. We'll also have to make sure that the room...
I will ensure the location, and I'll make that announcement with appropriate time. Thank you, guys. And other than that, I think that that's all I have. There are some additional, conferences, meetings, things of that nature that are coming up in November, that I'd love to have an opportunity to talk to the commission about. But that's something that we can do individually, and I can ping everybody and let you know what's coming down the pipeline, see who wants to do what. Carrie, this may be in your newsletter or an upcoming newsletter, so I'll keep it brief and we'll save the excitement. But the port did have a table at the community open house, this is our second year doing a little raffle drawing for people that stop by and visit the port, show their support. So we did do our drawing, and we announced our lucky winner the next day. We contacted them. They won a logo fleece and a ball cap, and they were very excited. And like I said, it's a much, much more interesting, exciting story, but I'm going to save the big reveal for the newsletter. And that's it at this time.
Okay. Thank you.
Just one thing additional. In the newsletter, you'll see we set a port office ribbon cutting on November 4th. So if you could all attend, it would be great. We asked the chamber to come and actually cut the ribbon, and we should be open for business.
That's on Saturday?
Yeah. I think it's at 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock, you said?
Mm-hmm. The executive director might buy a couple of bottles of champagne.
To break or to drink?
It depends how good you are. It will be to drink, sir.
Yeah. Is it on here?
No, it's not on here. It's November
4th.
It's on
the
Oh, yeah, it's in the back.
Yep, it's on here.
Great.
Yeah.
No, on Terry's.
On the newsletter.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we will recess to executive session. How long do you anticipate?
15 minutes.
15 minutes? No decision. What time is it? 20 past 1? No.
2:30.
So that means we should be back reconvening at
2:50. 20 minutes or 15?
15.
15, okay. 2:45.
2:45. Sam, would you let Terry know that he could participate if he wants? This doesn't show is the Greater Kingston 5?
2:53.
Oh, it's still 2:53.
It's okay. Still running an audience by the hourly rate.
Is there a reason not to reconvene 2 minutes early?
Well, that's me. I'm not a lawyer. I think that if we're not making any determinations, then there's no harm, no foul.
And do you have any comments about reconvening 2 minutes early? And guess what? We've used up the 2 minutes, I bet.
Bingo, I just went to 2:55.
Yeah, there we are. Okay, reconvene. Our next regular meeting is Tuesday, October 24th at 1 p.m.
That will be a budget planning workshop.
Is that right? That will be a public hearing. That'll be the 24th. Will be the public hearing. We'll have
it. Yeah, that's the regular meeting.
Regular meeting.
Okay. Well, I was talking about our. Yeah, I didn't hear the date. Sorry. Yeah.
So okay. We're still planning on doing the budget thing. Mm-hmm. Next 2 weeks. Prior. 2 weeks. Prior.
Two weeks from now.
2 weeks from now. 2 weeks prior. Thank you.
But that doesn't show on our meeting list.
It will.
Okay.
So when are we going to see the budget stuff we talked about?
We'll try to get it to you by the first part of next week.
Okay, so we'll talk about
Tuesday,
it.
Tuesday,
that's what I'm referring to. That'll be sort of a budget workshop. Mm-hmm. Okay, you might announce it as that. I don't think it's making decisions, but we want to be able to do that. Not for the budget per se, but for aspects of the budget. Like what we normally do.
Well, we also have some feedback on the process, the legal procurement process at that point.
Terry, I gave him a copy of our RFQ, and we're working on getting that out.
Okay, thank you.
There is a...
So to clarify,
are we
changing next Tuesday, October 2nd, or October 3rd? What day is that? That's October 3rd. Will that be changed now from just a commissioner work session to a special meeting?
We're just going to make note that this is a budget work session and let the people know that they're interested.
Okay.
But it's not going to be a special meeting.
It won't be a special meeting. And will we...
It's technically a special meeting.
Well, yeah, right.
But that's legally it's a special meeting.
Right.
Not a regular meeting.
Okay, right. And then... do you still want us to have everything ready to go for you guys to take a look at the barge? Or how should we?
Whenever you.
How would you like me to announce it? Shall we work that out later? Okay.
Something we've kind of lost sight of is the annexation. Mm-hmm. And I know, just don't know where that is nowadays.
So it's going to be on the ballot, hopefully, if you agree, next November. So we've got
November 18th?
Yeah. So something that we need to work on now as far as getting communication out to the bulk travel units. I'm a little concerned with Leonard being the new tribal chair director of the all federated tribes, isn't it? Isn't he the
Northwest, yeah.
So, I mean, that's a huge job, and trying to get him nailed down to really talk, we're going to have to deal with other people, I think.
I think, Terry, we need a communication strategy. I think Polsbo did not do it well.
Right.
And so there's lessons to be learned there on how that works.
Yeah, I mean,
I won't be here, but, you know, yeah.
I guess, yeah, this is the first I've heard of it, so Jim can bring it up.
You've been here 4 days and you don't know everything there is to know?
I know where the bathrooms are.
Anything else for the good of the order?
No. Well, we adjourn.
Poof, we adjourn. Would you like to second that?
Second.
Thank you. We are adjourned.
We have stuff to sign.